just never know what kids are going to say. It's always a risk. Well, if you would please open your Bibles together with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Lord willing, today we will finish the chapter, leaving only chapter 16. We are about at the end of 1 Corinthians. Amazing. It's a great book. I'm very, very glad that we've studied it together. I know that I have grown through the process. I hope that you have too. And today we're looking at the victory that God gives to us in Christ, us being all who truly believe. And I hope that today you'll leave understanding the victory and the way to show your thanks to God for it. 1 Corinthians 15, we're reading verses 50 through 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 58. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is clearly about victory. Notice what it says in verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us this victory, literally, this victory, referring to the one that's described in verses 50 to 56. Thanks be to God who gives us this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 58 is the application. So in verses 50 to 57 is the victory described, and in verse 58 is the victory applied. Very simple, two-part outline. The first part is the victory described, and in verses 50 to 57, we see the victory that God gives to all believers through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's in verses 50 to 57. Let's walk through it. Verse 50. Paul says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. You look at the beginning of that verse and you think, well, why does he say, now this I say? Did you ever say that? Actually, you probably do. You say, well, here's what I say. Did you ever say that? Here's what I say, many hands make light work. Right? Pastor Dan says that sometimes. Or here's what I say, how's that working for you? Sometimes Brother Don says that. Generally, we all have sayings. And Paul is here introducing one of his sayings. When he says, now this I say, that's a way of saying, here's what I like to say. And what follows was a common saying of the Apostle Paul. Here's what I say, brethren. Quote, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You know, it's actually a good thing to have sayings. Sayings are a way of putting important truths into a short form so that you can repeat them over and over. And this one reminds us, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God as is. By the way, don't believe anyone who tells you, you're already in the kingdom now, this is it, it doesn't get any better than this. No, beloved, it gets way better than this in the kingdom. Praise God that this is not the kingdom. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, he says. Flesh and blood describe us, they describe mankind, by two components which are common to all of us. Take a look. You got flesh? Okay, now get a pen. No, I'm just kidding. But you and I are made up of flesh and blood. And really, Paul often describes us this way because it's a reminder that we are weak. Flesh and blood are susceptible. vulnerable. Can flesh become diseased? Yep. Can blood become diseased? Yes. We are mere mortals. In fact, when Paul uses flesh and blood, you can often insert mere mortals. Mere mortals cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what we are. Therefore, we need to be dressed in something way better than flesh and blood to inherit the kingdom. How? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory over flesh and blood through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory over flesh and blood. He also gives us the victory over corruption. Look again at verse 50. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Corruption refers to the fact that I am sure everyone over 50 is familiar with. We are not getting stronger with age. This old body is breaking down, and the old gray matter, she ain't what she used to be, ain't what she used to be, ain't what she used to be. Anybody know that song? It's actually the old gray mare. I apply it to the old gray matter. Right? That's actually a folk song, believe it or not. The old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. It's true. We are getting worse with age. Eventually, these bodies of ours, they wear out, they break down, and if we die, we go into the ground. Right? That's a problem because Paul said in Romans 14:17 concerning the kingdom of God, it's probably his most succinct, concise definition for the kingdom of God in all the New Testament, Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That means righteousness. Only people doing what is right in the sight of God. Man, won't that be good? That's not what we have now. The kingdom of God is peace. No enmity. No conflict. No disagreement. Perfect peace and harmony. Won't that be good? It's not what we have now. And joy. In other words, you add perfect righteousness and perfect peace and you get joy. Guess what? This body can't inherit that. A body that is subject to breakdown and decay and death, a body that is merely flesh and blood and is corruptible and mortal, cannot inherit the kingdom of God where there will be nothing but righteousness and peace and joy in the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is himself immortal and incorruptible. Somehow we're going to have better than a flesh and blood body, and somehow we're going to have an incorruptible body. How are we going to do that? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory over flesh and blood. He gives us the victory over corruption. He gives us the victory over our mortality. Look at verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. A mystery is not something mysterious. A mystery is something that hasn't been revealed before. It's been kept hidden. But now it's being revealed. So he is revealing right here a mystery that was not known previously. Behold, I tell you a mystery. And the question that's being addressed is this. What if you don't die before Jesus comes again? You know why that question comes up? Because in the previous section, as we learned last week, he was talking about your resurrection body. And you'll be sown into the ground in, what does he say up there in verse 42? You'll be sown into the ground in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sown into the ground in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown into the ground in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. But what if you don't get sown into the ground? No worries. You're still getting a new body. Yes. You still get a new body. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, we might not all die before Jesus comes again. And Paul, I think, had in mind that maybe he wouldn't die before Christ came again. He saw Christ coming for the church as imminent. Doctrine of imminency. In other words, there's nothing that needs to happen on God's schedule before Christ comes in the air for his church. The doctrine of the pre-tribulational rapture, okay, which is more fully spelled out in 1 Thessalonians 4, which we looked at briefly last time. Christ could come at any time. Oh no! What if I don't die before He comes? Chill out. No worries. You will be changed. How? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be changed into a brand new outfit. Only men don't wear outfits, as I often say. Right, honey? Men don't wear outfits. She'll say, that's a nice outfit. I go, men don't wear outfits. But men do like to be, wives, men like to be outfitted. And men like outfitters. You know, hunting and fishing outfitters, we like that. And we like to be outfitted with cool gear. So, we are all going to be outfitted for the life to come. This is good news. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed into a new and improved body necessary to enter into the kingdom and live with the King forever. This is great news. Remember what we learned about the resurrection body last week? If you do die before Christ comes again, then when He comes again, you will be raised up with a, do you remember? New and improved, given by God, well suited to where you're going to live, gloriously transformed, Christ-like body. What if I don't die before He comes? Then you're going to be changed into a new and improved, given by God, well suited to where you're going to live, gloriously transformed, Christ-like body. We all get the same thing. How? Thanks be to God who gives us this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is good news. How's it going to happen? Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, stop there. Two expressions to convey the shortest time interval imaginable. What would we say today? In the blink of an eye. In a split second. That's what He's doing. He's just giving you word pictures that describe in a flash. Don't worry, it's not going to hurt. You're not going to feel a thing. You're going to go from flesh and blood corruptible you to brand new, new and improved, given by God, incorruptible, immortal body to suit you for life in the kingdom of God forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Leroy. And it's going to happen at the last trumpet. Notice what it says there, at the last trumpet. All right, what is the last trumpet? Well, it is not the last trumpet of the seven trumpets in the book of Revelation, which hadn't been written yet. That was not at all in Paul's mind. And it also is not the last trumpet ever that is going to be sounded ever. Doesn't mean that. It could be well translated the eschaton trumpet. And you've heard of eschatology. Eschaton means end. The end times trumpet. It is the trumpet to announce the coming of Jesus for His own, and then comes the end. You remember we saw that earlier in this chapter? Up in verse 23. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, rises from the dead. Afterward, those who are Christ that is coming, then comes the end. Well, at the last trumpet, the last trumpet of this age, you might say, announcing the end of the age, the coming of Jesus, will be gathered. We'll be gathered together. And Paul probably has in mind here the trumpet that Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah 27:13, that is a trumpet to gather God's elect together to worship Him. Isaiah 27:13 says, "So it will be in that day, the great trumpet will be blown or sounded. Those who are about to perish in the land of Assyria will come. Those who are outcast in the land of Egypt will come." In other words, there's going to be this gathering of God's people together, and they will worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. Paul has in mind a great trumpet, a great gathering of all of God's people, and in order for us to enter into the kingdom and be with Christ forever, we're all going to be changed when that happens. In a moment. For the trumpet will sound, middle of verse 52, and the dead, those who have fallen asleep before the coming of Christ, will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed also into an incorruptible body, so that we're ready to inherit the kingdom of God. Now notice verse 53. For, explaining this, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now just a few quick observations here. Notice first of all, he says, for this corruptible. Look here. It's like he's pointing to himself. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this. That is telling you that there is a degree of continuity. Continuity of identity. In other words, you are going to get a new body, but it's still going to be you. That's good news. We're not going to lose Drew in the process. Oh, we wanted Drew to show up. There's this new body, but who's this inside? It's going to be Drew, the brand new body. Drew doesn't need a new body. Young people don't need one. But some of us, you'll appreciate this in time, brother. Notice also it says, for this corruptible, this mortal, those two words, corruptible and mortal, describe our current body and explain why it is that we are not fit to enter the kingdom as is. This body is corruptible, subject to disease, decay, and death, and we can't enter heaven dressed like this, nor do we want to. You don't want to enter heaven with that old body. No offense. No offense. But you don't want to enter heaven with that body. You want to enter heaven with one that's going to be ready to go, good to go for all times. And for that to happen, you need to be changed. Notice also in verse 53, it says, this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. This is a divine necessity for anyone to enter the kingdom. You can't enter the kingdom any other way. You have to be changed. That only comes about as a gift from God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory, and God only gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way to enter into the kingdom. You must be born again, Jesus told Nicodemus at night. You cannot enter the kingdom except through faith in Jesus Christ. You can't enter the kingdom except with a new body. A new body is the gift that God gives through faith in Jesus Christ and through what He's done. Finally, notice in verse 53, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, not as a covering that you put on top of what you have now, as if the mortal corruptible you is still going to be there. No. This is put on like an entirely new outfit, except guys don't wear outfits. So you're going to be outfitted by the outfitter who is God Himself. Thanks be to God who gives us, who outfits us, who gives us this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, verse 54, and now it really gets good. Pay attention. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, when we are there and we got the new suit, the new you, then will come about the saying, notice what he says, then will be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now this is a quote from Isaiah 25, and it's worth turning to. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25. As you probably know, a lot of the first half of Isaiah's prophecy is doom and gloom. Judgment. Judgment's coming. Doom and gloom. No joy, no happiness here. But suddenly, in chapter 25, we find this praise song to God for His salvation. Isaiah 25 begins, verse 1, O Lord, You are my God. And this is probably the prophet in the midst of his prophesying, just singing out to God. O Lord, You are my God. I will exalt You. I will praise Your name, for You have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Now, drop down to verse 7. Verse 7, Isaiah 25, 7. And He, speaking of the Lord, He will destroy, it's actually the word swallow, okay? It's the exact same Hebrew word that's used in verse 8. And He will swallow, on this mountain, the surface of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. As if to say that over all the nations, there's this black veil hanging over all of us. But the Lord, somehow, on some hill, is going to swallow it. What is the black covering that is over all of us? Death. Look at the next verse, verse 8. He will swallow up death forever. What is the prophet saying? What is he promising? The Lord will, on some hill, swallow up forever the covering that hangs over all of us, namely death. How in the world will the Lord swallow death for us? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who on the hill of Calvary tasted death for us all, Hebrews 2:9. Jesus Christ is Yahweh. He is Jehovah. He is the Lord God. And on the hill of Calvary, Jesus Christ took the poison, which is death, which is the penalty we all deserve for our sins, and Christ tasted, swallowed down death forever. And on the third day, according to the Scriptures, He rose up from the dead, having conquered death and the grave. Now stay here in Isaiah 25 and look what He says. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God, and implied, and then one day, we don't know when, there's a separation of time here, and then the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of His people He will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. What is the rebuke of His people? Well, I'll tell you. The rebuke of God's people is this. It is the rebuke of unbelievers who say, come on, you believe that? You believe God is just going to take away death? You believe you're just going to rise up from the dead? That's what you believe? That is the rebuke of His people. It is the rebuke that we suffer from the naysayers. The rebuke of those who don't believe, who reject Christ, who reject the gospel, who live godless lives, who don't believe any of it, and who ridicule you for believing any of it. The Lord will take away from all the earth the rebuke of His people, for the Lord has spoken, and it will be said in that day, Isaiah 25:9, and here's what we'll say to them. Behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him, and we will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Amen. Amen. And now it gets better. Because I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians 15, and I want you to see what Paul is doing. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. What does it say? O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Have you ever seen celebrating in the end zone and taunting? There's a guy here, the enemy. You were going long, right? The pass came over, caught the pass, and you're in the end zone, and now what do you do? You wanted to keep me out of getting here? Good luck now, buddy, because I'm already here. And it's taunting. Only here, there's no flag. Paul is speaking to death and to Hades, and he's taunting. He's mocking the enemy, saying, ha! Oh, death! What you going to do now? Can't touch me. Because I already have the victory, thanks to God, through Christ. This is called pre-celebration. I don't advise celebrating before you get into the end zone, but I do advise celebrating before you get into the kingdom. Why? Because that's what faith does. If you really believe that God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, then you know that Christ has already paid the price on Calvary. He's already taken sin and death out of the way. He's already overcome death in the grave by His resurrection from the dead. And you say, ha ha! Woo! Ha, death! Where's your sting now? Hey, hell, Hades, what are you going to do now? You cannot touch me. How? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is celebrating. And the first application of this is you should celebrate. If you're truly a believer in Jesus Christ, you ought to be singing hallelujah. When we come here, you don't want to know how to improve the music in any church? Read your Bible before you come to church and sing as if you're singing to God who's right there. The sing, and when we get to our last song today, you sing as if God is right here and you've heard what He said to you and you just want to express your celebration to Him and say, "Oh God," and sing, "He has made me glad." Boy, good song. Way to go, Dan. You sing, "He has made me glad," as if He's really made you glad and you're singing to Him. Paul says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice, He gives it. This victory is a gift from God. You can't earn it. You can't buy it with any amount of money. This is a gift of God. This is His grace. And notice it says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory." This is not to everyone. Us is a group of people. Us is Paul and those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember who he's writing to from the very first verse of this letter? It's to the saints. It's to those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who this is to. To the church of God at Corinth. To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Thanks be to God who gives us, believers in Jesus, this victory over the enemy. This victory over, and if you go back through, He gives us a victory over seven things. He gives us the victory over flesh and blood, verse 50, that is weakness. He gives us the victory over corruption, verse 50. He gives us the victory over mortality, verse 53. He gives us the victory over death, verse 54. He gives us the victory over Hades, verse 55. And verse 56, He gives us the victory over sin and the law. Look what He says in verse 56. The sting of death is sin. Stop there. That means the poisonous sting that results in death is sin. Sin is like a sting that stings you so that you eventually die. Okay? That's what he means. The sting that leads to death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. What has the power to show us that we're sinners? The law. What has the power not only to show us we're sinners, but to make us sin even more because we're so sinful? The law. And what has the power to show us not only are we sinners, not only are we exceedingly sinful, but we are sinners against the God who gives us life and we deserve from Him nothing but death and hell forever. The law has the power to show us that. That's why it's a very important tool in evangelism. So the sting that leads to death is sin, and the strength of sin, what shows it to us, what convicts us in us, is the law. How are we going to get past sin and the law? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ over flesh and blood, corruption, mortality, death, Hades, sin, and the law. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins on the cross according to the Scriptures, was buried. On the third day He arose again according to the Scriptures. He was seen alive by many. He ascended into heaven and He is coming again. And when He does, thanks be to God, we all will be changed. We all who believe. Before I go to the application, let me ask you, do you have this victory? Do you have the victory that God gives? If you do not, then I beg you today, if you're here today and the reality is you don't have this victory, you are still in your sins. If that's the reality for you, I beg you, do not harden your heart today. Believe in Jesus Christ today. And you'll be changed. Actually, you'll be changed today. If today you would humble yourself before the God of heaven and call upon Him for mercy, confess your sin to Him. Say, "God, I haven't believed. You know my life. You know how I lived this past week. You know my thoughts and my actions. Forgive me." If you call upon the Lord today, as Brother Mick was talking about, in repentance and faith, you'll be saved. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you'll have the victory. So I beg you, if you're here today and you don't have Christ, if you don't have this victory, if you don't have this great salvation, trust in the Lord today and you'll be saved. But if you do, then when Paul says, "Thanks be to God," that's something you should do. And I want to show you very quickly three ways that you should express your thanks to God. verse 58 shows us the thanks that should be shown to God by every believer in Jesus for this victory. Therefore, verse 58, in other words, in light of this victory, my beloved brethren, you who are my beloved family members in the Lord, number one, be steadfast. Literally, keep on becoming more steadfast. This is a call to spiritual growth. Become completely settled in your convictions. You need to grow. You need to know the Word of God better. Become steadfast. The root of this word steadfast is the word for a seat. You know, like you're all sitting on a seat. It means to be so seated or settled in your convictions that you then become, number two, immovable. Become so firmly fixed in your convictions about Christ, which come from His Word, that nothing could ever move you away from them. These two words together, steadfast and immovable, describe a rock-solid Christian. And this is a call, this is a way for you to show your gratitude to God for the victory. You become a rock-solid woman of God. Become a rock-solid man of God. Let it be that others would say of you, even if it's behind your back, let it be said of you, oh, she is solid. I mean, like a rock. That woman, she knows the Bible like nobody's business. And she is immovable. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the false teachers, they do not have a prayer. That woman will never be moved away from her faith, which has been built up over all these years. That's the way you show your thanks to God. Become a steadfast, immovable kind of person, but don't let it stop there. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is not the work He's supposed to be doing, but isn't doing, so I guess somebody's got to do it, so it might as well be you. That's how some people take this. Why do I have to be abounding in His work? Why doesn't He do His work? The work of the Lord is not the work that's His to do. It's the work that He's given you and me to do. How would we possibly know the work of the Lord that we are to be always abounding in? Here's how. By His commandments. That's it. By His commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, John 14:15, keep my commandments. And Paul is teaching here, if you're thankful to God, then always be abounding in the work of the Lord, which we know by His commandments. Listen, the Lord God has given us an amazing victory. Victory over the enemy. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over our mortality, death, the grave, sin, the law. In love and thanks to Him, we should be always abounding in the work that our Lord has given us to do, praying for one another always, serving one another always, putting our spiritual gifts to use always, knowing that that's never a waste. Knowing that your labor is not in vain, as in it's never in vain in the Lord. We might waste our time doing a lot of other things, but if what you're spending your time doing is keeping the commandments of God, loving your wife, respecting your husband, raising your children, teaching your grandchildren, serving the brethren, building up the church, praying, giving, going, witnessing, preaching, you're not wasting your time. Let me just give you this practical suggestion. Find the person who knows you best in Christ. Maybe that's your mother. Maybe that's your father. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe that's your husband. Find the person who knows you better than anyone else in Christ and say, honey, or mom, or dad, or son, or brother, say, the Bible says I'm to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do you think I'm always abounding in the work of the Lord? Be honest. Just ask them. Let them help you with that. You can evaluate yourself, but you can also get someone else to evaluate you. And let them ask you. And I would encourage you, 2016 is coming, end of a new year. This is a great time for you to reflect on the year past. Have you been always abounding in the work of the Lord? What will you change in the coming year to be more abounding in the work of the Lord? Believe me, it's not in vain. Christ is coming, and there will be a reward. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the great victory you've given us through our Lord Jesus Christ, the victory over sin and the law and death and the grave. Lord, help us to leave here celebrating today, singing because you have made us glad, and considering how it is that we can do the work you've given us to do between now and the time that Christ comes. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.